saying it to him all day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up? Come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly stunning host, Matt Sroka. As always, I'm joined by a guy who spends his every moment of his free time now trying to get a hold of Todd Gurley to get him to sign with the Ravens, the button lover, Josh Sroka.
I'm curious about the Todd Gurley situation. I'm curious about, I think if the Ravens wanted Todd Gurley, they would have signed him in June.
Yeah, don't need him, don't want him. That's
right. I don't think the Ravens want him. I don't think they have seen what they saw from him in June, because they were interested in him even with J.K. Dobbins. So I think without J.K. Dobbins, it doesn't bring an immediate need for a veteran.
Yeah, I mean, you saw what the Ravens did. Not to jump right into Ravens talk here, because we're going to talk some Orioles, but we're just chit-chatting because I heard on Twitter there's an update on the PlayStation situation. So we're going to talk about some Ravens real quick here, then we'll get into Orioles talk, and then we're going to, you know, this is why we're all here, for the PlayStation update.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But what I was going to say is, the Ravens, I mean, you saw like Mark Ingram last, when you had Mark Ingram who left.
Yeah.
Like the system the Ravens run, like you could fit another veteran. You run the ball so much, you could fit another veteran back in there. And so you're right. If they wanted him in June, they could have found room for Todd Gurley in June.
Right.
But they didn't. And if they did, it didn't make sense then. I don't see why it would make sense now.
No, I agree. Do we stop the printers for the Super Bowl merch without J.K. Dobbins?
No. On the contrary, we get all aboard the Gus Bus Express. No, I think I've heard people say, and I think this is accurate, I feel worse for J.K. Dobbins than I do for the Ravens.
Oh, right. That sounds great. I like that.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Like it hurts the Ravens. Like the Ravens are worse without J.K. Dobbins.
Right.
But it's at the running back position, and we have a great running scheme. Right. So I think the Ravens will be okay. But it feels bad for J.K. Dobbins because he was prime for a breakout year.
He was. But it's also, you're right, the scheme is designed for you can plug anyone in there and things will run. And I think you see that every year, as every year you see a new running back that makes a name for himself. Gus Edwards wasn't supposed to be anything. And he's been perfectly fine each year on this team.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a huge year. Because then you have Hill, but Hill gets banged up a lot. And then is it Williams or whatever the rookie's name is? I think he could have an exciting year as well.
But so, you're right. It's all up to Gus now. He's been the third guy, second or third guy. And now he got Dobbins out of his way. He got
Ingram
out of his way.
They just happened to move themselves out of his way.
But sure. Yeah. You say that.
Oh, you think Gus is behind all this?
I'm saying whenever there's some stuff that goes down, you got to look at who benefits. Whenever there's bad stuff, someone benefits.
You think Gus is also jealous of Lamar Jackson's running yards? Should Lamar Jackson be watching his back?
I'm saying if I was Lamar, I would keep an eye on Huntley. Because again, it's who benefits. If Lamar goes down, Gus doesn't benefit. Huntley does.
Are you jumping on board the Huntley train after he had one decent preseason game against the fourth string Washington football team squad?
I am not. I like Huntley. I think Huntley makes more sense as a backup than RG3 or McSorley ever did. So I like him as a backup.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems to be the perfect backup.
Yeah. All I'm saying is Ryan Mountcastle gets Chris Davis to retire.
Yeah.
After hurting his hip multiple times.
Yeah. Well, and I'd rather have Ryan Mountcastle than Chris Davis. I don't know if I'd rather have Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, so.
Of course.
Yeah.
But prime Chris Davis, you would take over anyone.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So. Hey, I also want to bring back this episode. I got a couple strawberry coconuts.
Oh, like a strawberry or coconut?
Yeah, like I'm legitimately not sure. I have two stories, and I don't know if they're strawberries or coconuts. So I want to get into that today. But first, yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Orioles.
All right, you want to start with Birdie? He's not in the game yet.
Good old number 71.
Yeah, he'd be the 56th Oriole to play a game this season.
56. That's wild.
The record was 59 different Orioles in 2019.
Oh.
So we're going to break that record.
Yeah. Because, I mean, September 1st, the rosters expand to 28.
Exactly.
So that's,
you know, Birdie's going to get his name called either today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
the funny thing is, Josh, with Birdie and tonight, I think, isn't Chris Ellis pitching tonight?
He's pitching a gem.
Okay, yeah, it's what, two innings?
Four. Hey,
he's in the fourth
inning.
All right.
It's the top of the fourth or bottom of the fourth.
Yeah. He's pitching a gem. At Mountcastle, I'm sure, hit another dong because that's what Mountcastle does.
Mountcastle got a dong, and Ellis has no hits. He's pitching a no-hitter. I'm just going to put it out there. Three innings, no-hitter.
The thing that makes me laugh about Ellis and Birdie, I put in the same category, is there's this whole squad at Norfolk with Kyle Bradish and Michael Bauman and Kevin Smith. Like, I'm watching. I'm paying attention to every box score. Then every time the Orioles bring up a new pitcher, it's like a guy I never heard of. Birdie and Ellis, who's
right.
They're not Norfolk. I don't know where these guys are. No one ever heard of these guys.
Well, Birdie, we just picked up off waivers from the White Sox like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But no. By the way, Chris Ellis just gave up a dong.
Okay.
As soon as I called
him. Let's stop talking about it. Yeah. When you start talking about the gem, let's stop talking about it.
Well, we know what's going on. This is just like everyone calling for Jamai Jones, and the response would be, there's more development going on in the minors, and we want the guys to develop in the minors. So I think that's part of why these guys aren't getting the call up. It's, do we really want to bring them to the majors and teach them to lose?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. You're bringing in guys who are waiver wire, kind of veteran guys, and your younger guys, you're letting – you know, them have some, either have some success or kind of figure it out in AAA, not under the big lights. But my question is, Josh, I got a couple questions here. I want to get into, we have 1 month left of the go of the season, and we've just been officially kind of eliminated from the playoffs. We're the first team in baseball to be officially eliminated from the playoffs. So we could win every other game for the rest of the season. We're still not making the playoffs. And everyone else could lose every game. And we still would not make the playoffs.
Yep.
So kind of what to watch for in the last month of the season. But before we go there, Josh, just real quick, Spencer Watkins, Paul Fry.
Yes.
Both sent to AAA.
Remember how we thought we could actually trade Paul Fry? And he was pitching well enough to be a trade candidate.
Yeah.
And suddenly the month of August, he's looked like crap.
Well, since the All-Star game, people like to say since the sticky stuff went away. I don't know if that's true.
The timing's close, but yeah.
Yeah, but Paul Fry, his demise has been something kind of spectacular. To be one of the best kind of specialty lefties in baseball to, like, yesterday pitch or a couple of days. Was it yesterday or a couple of days pitch a third inning and gave up a bunch of runs, five runs or something? It's just been really bad.
Yeah, I don't think the Orioles were quite fair to him to just demote him. This is normally where, as a team, you're nice and say, oh, he has a blister or a sore arm or something, and you put him on the IL for 10 days. You'd be nice to the guy and not just, hey, you suck. We're sending you down.
Yeah.
You normally try to tell the fans that something's wrong with the guy.
Yeah, because how do you explain it? Like, and this is what happens. Like, you're talking about, like, the John Means treatment. Like, John Means has a bad start, and all of a sudden he goes to the DL with a little shoulder fatigue or whatever. But Paul Fry, there's no signs of injury, just like bad.
And they're not trying to hide it. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of a crazy story that you thought you had a good reliever there and now you don't. Like the last, just look at the way you pull up his stats, the last 30 games, an ERA of 9.47, his last 15 games, ERA of 13.91. And if you just take his last seven games with the Orioles, an ERA of 14.40. Yeah. He's given up in his last five innings he's pitched, he's given up 8 runs. Last 11 innings pitched, 17 runs. His last 25 innings pitched, 27 runs. And there's a whole bunch of walks in there and not a lot of strikeouts. So it's just been bad.
Yeah, no, it's no good.
And the other guy, Spencer Watkins, Josh, I'm old enough to remember when he was had his first, 3 or 4 starts, he was looking like an actual dude you could count on. And then all of a sudden, he's come back to earth big time.
Yeah. I mean, okay, you're calling him a dude you can count on after 3 starts. I mean, it's not like we got a season under his belt.
Yeah, but we were, in fairness to us, we were skeptical from day one.
Yep.
Yeah. But for me, my Spencer Watkins takeaway, and if you do, I mean, I felt like he had a good start last time. I thought his last start was pretty good, and I looked at the numbers, 5 innings and 6 runs. But in comparison, that was the first time he's gone 5 innings.
Right.
In his past, 5 starts. So in comparison, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to see these guys that come. And like I said, it's like we're seeing with Ellis tonight, where he comes out of nowhere, pitches a good game. But can they sustain that? Can they keep that going? I don't know. And I think we're seeing that also on the other side of the ball with Mateo. Mateo came with his problem being his bat, and he's batting mid-300s since joining the Orioles. And that's scary because that means you don't really know what you've got.
Yeah,
so it means, did the fresh change in weather and bringing him to Baltimore really, light a torch under him, that this is the guy that – this is his true potential, like Cedric Mullins. Cedric Mullins is proven that the flash we saw is real. And Mateo is scary because he's playing his way onto this team for next year. And it's still a short sample size.
Yeah, you're right. The chances that Mateo kind of turns back into a pumpkin are probably high. But there's also those stories, Cedric Mullins, I always think now of, not think of Mike Yastrzemski, right? Who was just this middling AA, AAA player for us. And then he turns to an all-star with the Giants almost overnight.
And a lot of times as Oriole fans, we focus on the pitchers that do that because we've been burned that way with pitchers.
Our Jake Arrieta's, Kevin Gausman's.
Exactly. So, but it happens on both sides of the
Wade
ball.
Miley.
But it's interesting. I think at least the first 2 months of the season, you and I were saying, hey, let's enjoy the Mullins ride while it goes.
Yeah.
It's been the whole season. I think now we're like, okay, this is working. It's not a flash in the pan. It's not a streak. It's something that we can count on for next year. And if that's true of Mateo, that's awesome. But it's, I guess when I look at next season as – let's start winning some games, guys. Let's start taking this thing serious. Having a guy like Mateo, who looks great now, that could be bad next year, is scary.
Yeah, he certainly has, I think, I mean, we'll see what he does last month of the season, but if he does anything close to what he's done since he's been here, he's going to earn himself a roster spot on next year's team. Just one more quick note before we can be done with Watkins. I want to say I feel really happy for Watkins. Because it looked like he's the kind of guy, it looked like he was never going to get a shot at the majors. But now he can say, I mean, I don't know if we'll get another shot. I think it's highly unlikely, actually, he gets another shot at the majors.
But he did it. He made it.
He made it. He did it. He pitched in the show. Seriously, props to him.
I think he pitched in Boston. I think he got to sign the Green Monster.
Yeah. I mean, he was 29 years old, played in the minors for 10 years when he finally made his majors debut. So, what, a 30th round draft pick or something. So props to Spencer Watkins for grinding and grinding and grinding. And now I can tell his kids and his grandkids that he pitched for a major league team. I think that's really cool.
Yep. Good luck with your future selling cars or real estate.
Is that stereotype still true? Just some stereotypes out there.
That athletes go to car dealerships?
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a dated stereotype.
Is it? What do they do now? Real estate?
Do they open up restaurants? I don't know.
Or podcasting, radio.
Or how about help the community, a la Torrey Smith and all the work he's done with the community?
Yeah,
how about that? Is that the new thing, to go back and help the community?
I don't know. He made a lot more money. Yeah, I think his wife still works.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Spencer Watkins, he didn't make enough money to.
No, he didn't make Torrey Smith money.
No, he didn't make that much money at all, actually. Last you mentioned Mateo. I think that's something to watch for last month of the season. He seems to be a kind of a really exciting player and certainly has earned a right to at least kind of fight, especially helps too that it's not like we have someone. I mean, who's he competing with? He's a middle infielder. So, yeah, Urias. There's room for both of them.
Same type of guy. There might be room for both of them, but we've also got young guys kind of coming up.
Yeah, but that's interesting, right?
Because most of these guys are guys that we didn't count on as part of the future, and now they're starting to play well, so we need to see if one or both of these guys sticks around.
Yeah, because we were talking about 2023. We're talking about Jamai Jones, Jordan Westberg. Is Gunnar Henderson going to be ready yet? Like all these other really young guys. We weren't talking about Urias and Mateo.
No.
But now they're in that discussion because they both played at times extremely well.
Yeah, and while we're talking about kind of what to watch this season, the next month of Orioles baseball is we also got to take into account that this week the Orioles farm system got ranked number one in Major League Baseball.
Listeners, podcast listeners, coconuts, do you guys see what I go through? I try to talk about Spencer Watkins, and Josh starts talking about Mateo. I have to go back and finish my point.
What do you want?
Then I finally start talking about Urias and Mateo and what to look out for next month.
I thought we're talking about the next month of baseball.
Yeah, the next month of the season, and then you start talking about our prospect rankings.
Yeah, because you need to keep that in mind.
Next month of season?
Because you need to keep that in mind as you're watching these guys who are playing Major League Baseball now that somehow still have a shot at that future.
So what to look for in the last month of season, your answer is
how does Mateo and Urias fit into a farm system that has some guys coming up?
Well, they don't fit into the farm system.
Okay. How does McKenna fit into this outfield? You want to go there? McKenna's a guy.
I'm just trying to keep up with you, Josh. McKenna's interesting, right? Because if you watch him, every time he goes to AAA, he crushes it. Like he's Babe Ruth down there. And then he comes up to the majors and he's batting 200 this year.
Yeah, it's like it's harder to play Major League Ball.
Yeah, but you usually don't see the numbers being that different, that you totally dominate AAA and you can't hit at the majors. Like, but he's another one. That's a good one. I hope he plays as many games as possible in the month of September because he's another guy where it's unclear his role in the future, right? Is he an everyday outfielder? Is he a fourth outfielder? Is he not? Is he not even good enough to be a fourth outfielder? We don't know yet.
How do you feel about Anthony Santander? Are you like me where I'm starting to wane on him and think he might not be part of this future? Like, I expected him to be a big bat, a big veteran leader this year, and I don't see him as an outfield presence that I can count on.
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to be a big trade chip this year. That didn't really work out.
Right.
So I always thought in my head, like, he's the classic trade chip. Your outfield's too full. He's a little bit older, a little bit closer to his arbitration year, so he's going to be kind of get the short straw. But with the down season this year, was unable to trade him. So I don't know, Josh. You had a great, what could only be called a great season last year that was shortened a little bit by injury, and it was shortened because of COVID. And then this year he's been, average to below average. And so that's another guy to watch for the next month of the season. I mean, he's certainly this outfield. It's not like Yusniel Diaz is knocking on the door. So you certainly can see him, envision him in the starting right field spot for next year. But I'd be very curious to see how he plays both the rest of the season and next year. Is it going to be more like this year? And if he plays next year more like this year, then okay. We're going to get ready, close to ready to move on. You're just holding a spot for Kerstad or Colton Cowles or whomever. Or if he plays like he did last year in 2020, then all of a sudden it's a different situation. And again, though, like I look at him as a trade candidate in that situation probably.
Yeah. What else are you watching for in this outfield over the next month?
Yeah, I'm still. I'm not sold on Austin Hayes either, Josh. I feel similar to Santander, where at the beginning of the season the hopes were high for Austin right. Hayes, and he stayed, I think, relatively healthy, a little banged up, certainly, but I've been impressed, especially lately, with his ability to stay on the field and play almost every day. But offensively, he is not pretty. He's this guy where, you know, he'll hit a few line drives, hit a home run one night, and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, this is the guy I know. And then he'll have a couple offers, and you're like, wait a minute, this is not the guy who I thought he was. 246, 14 home runs, OPS at 722. Like, I don't know. I'm still TBD on Austin Hayes. I'm not penciling him in 2023. I think he still has to make his case that he deserves. He's an exciting player. He's fun to watch, but you'd like him to be more consistent at the plate. Right. Great arm. Love the arm. I like him in the outfield.
Yeah, I've got these new young guys on my softball team now that graduated from college down here this past, I think, in the spring. Uh-huh. And they always talk to me about DJ Stewart because he's a Florida State guy.
So yeah, Seminole, sure.
They're real familiar with him.
Yeah.
And I keep telling him, I'm like, he sucks. He didn't make it in the majors. He's not going to do anything. I think that might be one of the most disappointing stories when this year's over is DJ Stewart not proving himself. And I think, is he even on the team for this last month?
Yeah, he is. I think he is. I mean,
he's not in the lineup tonight, so I was going to try to look back and see when the last time he played. Oh, he did. He played right field yesterday.
Yeah.
He's batting 206.
We've all seen his
blunders in right field.
But his OBP is 330, right? So even he is the kind of guy that even when he struggles, he still finds ways to get on base. So you like that?
Okay.
I'm trying to think of good things to say about DJ Stewart because I like DJ Stewart.
I like DJ too. I just don't think he's kind of ruled out as part of the future right now. When you're doing your draft board or your power rankings or whatever, DJ Stewart's not going to be in your top four outfielders. For 2022,
the old depth charts,
your projections, depth chart. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
he's not up there.
Yeah, and it's a little bit. It's frustrating because this is the kind of guy you want. He's a lefty, right? So you don't have a ton of left-handed outfielders,
right?
So you can platoon him. He gets on base a lot. He can walk. He's got a good eye. So you like that? He goes on these kind of power streaks where you know. You can look up and he's, you know, hit a bunch of home runs. He has 11 this year. If he played every day, he could probably get to over 20 home runs. But he just doesn't hit that. Two things crush him. His low batting average just doesn't get enough hits. Again, in his career, 497 at bats, he's batting 215. And the other thing is, as you mentioned, Josh, his outfield defense. He struggles and at times is embarrassing to watch out there in the outfield. And I don't really understand how a professional baseball player whose job it is to be outfield can still look so kind of out of place in the outfield. But yeah, it's frustrating because there's some things he does really well. And unfortunately, he just can't hit for a high enough average or play outfield defensively well enough.
So does he get a shot on the 2022 Orioles or does he play his way out of here this year other guys that you want to see?
Yeah, but do you guys, I mean, that's the question. Are there other guys that you really want to see?
I mean, there are, but the question is, are they going to be ready for next year?
Yeah, and the thing that's on in DJ Stewart's favor is he doesn't hit arbitration eligibility to 2023. So he's going to make no money next year. So he's still on his same whatever pre-arb number, whatever he made this year. So he's not going to be making a lot of money.
Gotcha.
And so, I mean, it also goes back to the thing we've been talking about, and we'll get into more of the offseason.
I mean,
do the Orioles want to become more competitive? And if you want to circle kind of spots where you can improve on your team for next year, replacing DJ Stewart with a more, you know, a bigger impact left-handed bat could be something they do.
Yeah. Question is, though, a lot of those outfield hopes are still in Double A. Diaz is in Triple A, but Diaz is having a horrible year, so there's not as much pressure. It's like McKenna is your guy that's on the bubble, and he's not hitting well either.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, yeah, you have Cedric Mullins out there, and Mullins, Santander, Hayes, I guess, and Hayes has been hurt a lot. So yeah, and then the rest of the guys are a little ways off. We have no idea how far Kerstad is, and there are a bunch of interesting names. Zach Watson, is it Stowers, is the other guy? There's a couple interesting names in Bowie right now having huge years, and I wonder how fast they might move up next year. Either way, starting opening day next year, you might have DJ Stewart just because there's not anyone else knocking on the door. And then all of a sudden, if players play well, if some of the Watsons or the Stowers play right. well, Newstrom even play well in AAA at the beginning of next year, then maybe you move on from right. Stewart.
And all those guys in Bowie, they're batting mid to high twos. So it's not like they're hammering the door to get promoted either.
Yeah, and honestly, if you talk about Stowers and Watson, they're not your top 5-10 prospects, right? They're just having huge years. So you also, I think, have to say, okay, is this legit or is this kind of a mirage, or are they actually this good of hitters and baseball players? So I don't think those guys, you're going to rush. I think Stewart would definitely finish the year with the Orioles. And I think it's possible. I don't know. I think it's possible next year he's on the team.
He's going to get the Sarasota invite.
I think so.
I'll get that.
I think so.
Pretty much if you're –
another team likes him, because I think he could be traded to if another team likes him and thinks they can do something with him.
True. But he hasn't been demoted at all this year. He's been on – which means you're going to automatically get that spring invite.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a kid anymore. This is this guy's been around. I think he's what, 27, maybe 28. Yeah. He's been around in our system. It feels like forever. So he's a guy again. Curious to watch him the last month. He has one more month to kind of make a case for himself. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So Ellis completed his game tonight, 4 2/3 of an inning with one hit, one run, and one walk, two strikeouts. So not bad for a first performance.
Yeah, I'm Josh, I don't know, you mentioned the pitching staff as far as what to expect from the pitchers. Here's one thing I do hope. This is small and minor, but I hope Jorge Lopez stays in the bullpen. I want to see a month of Jorge Lopez as a back end of the rotation bullpen arm.
I agree with you, because we've seen that Lopez is not a rotation guy. The question is, how's that arm play into the bullpen? Yep. And a month of it in the bullpen will, and if he does well, will assure him a kind of a bullpen slot for next year, which could be good for him.
Yep, I agree.
So,
I mean, the others, as far as starters and pitchers go, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I've seen enough of Aiken a month ago, and then, of course, he has a great start, his last start out.
All right. Isn't that what he does, though? Every time you're tired of Aikens, he pitches a nice game.
Yeah.
And then you get irritated again.
Yeah.
So I guess if he can string it together, Means continues to be Means. I think Matt Harvey is still interesting. If he can finish the season with this entire season of kind of being okay and kind of decent, like not a top reliever or top rotation guy, but a decent like fifth hole guy. If he can finish the season that way, that's interesting to me as a veteran, cheap veteran on the team.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe like a depth signing if someone gets hurt and you can have him there ready to go. I mean, certainly there was an article by Fangraphs, Josh, I don't know if you saw it, about like the path for the Orioles. Everybody's writing about the Orioles nowadays. So Fangraphs got on it too, talking about the Orioles' future. And their kind of conclusion was, you know, in a couple of years, the Orioles are going to have a good lineup. Like they're going to have, if you just look at the prospects, and we know this, they're going to have a good lineup. Yeah. What's unknown for the Orioles is in a few years, 2 years, 3 years, what would their pitching look like outside of someone like Grayson Rodriguez, maybe Adia Hall? What would their pitching look like? And so for the Orioles, that's the big question going forward. That, like, Matt Harvey probably shouldn't even be a fifth starter on anybody's team. No. But, like, for us right now, I mean, I think he's our second best guy behind John Means.
And that's, like, why I think it's interesting.
Yeah. So we just need so many starting pitchers. And so, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. Next year, if you look at next year, we need so many starting pitchers, and I don't know where they're going to come from. So Matt Harvey, the one thing that Matt Harvey, even when he struggled, he was going out there every fifth day. He was going out there every freaking fifth day, even when he struggled. He's been a reliable dude, and he's done something I think is really impressive. He pitched well, struggled, and then kind of righted the ship. And now, ever since then, he's been okay. Right, he had that long streak of not giving up any runs, and since then he's been okay. And so, yeah, I agree. I'd rather see Matt Harvey than Jorge Lopez, or than Keegan Aiken, or honestly than Chris Ellis, or Birdie.
So no, any of these guys, you're right.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm curious to see how he finishes the year, and I'm curious to see what Matt Harvey does. Like, and maybe Matt Harvey says, you know, I have an ERA of 6. I tried to come back. I'm retiring. If I can't pitch a less than a 6 ERA, I'm going to retire. Or maybe he says, you know what, I had some bright spots this year, and I like working with the Orioles, so maybe I'll come back for the Orioles.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you're watching for this last month?
Anyone to get outs in the bullpen. Bullpen's terrible.
Bullpen's worn out, yes.
Yeah, so anyone can get out. Anyone who can get out. So I'm looking to see if anyone in the Orioles bullpen can get guys out. And, we've seen the demise kind of a Fry and Scott. I mean, that's another guy, Tanner Scott, who I thought was good. But no, I don't know. I joke, how can DJ Stewart be a professional baseball player and not know how to play outfield? How can Tanner Scott be a professional pitcher and not know how to throw strikes at times? Like, that's kind of wild to me.
Well, it's wild. Tanner Scott's wild to you?
Yeah, it's wild. He has 35 walks this year in 49 innings. So that's a bit too many. And this is not the exception. This is how he's been his whole career. Right. And you thought he would get better and better the more time he's played. Again, he's like DJ Stewart. He's 27. He has good stuff. He throws the ball hard. But, dude, you can't just have games where you don't know how to throw a strike.
Would you fire the pitching coach? Would you go out and get a new pitching coach, new bullpen coach?
Yeah, I would.
How horrible the bullpen has been.
Well, the pitching coach is Chris Holt. I would, I would reassign Chris Holt. Because remember, before this, Chris Holt was in charge of pitching development throughout the entire organization. And I think he still is. I don't know if anyone else does that job. I think he still does that job while also being the pitching coach for the Orioles. It seems to me, like, focus on development, if that's what you want to do, Chris Holt, and then get a more veteran kind of pitching coach with a track record in there as your pitching coach. That's what I would do.
Because I don't think there's any bright spots that we can point to and give Chris Holt credit for.
Yeah, and I'm making all kinds of assumptions and leaps in here. Here's what I'm thinking happens from the Chris Holt perspective. Chris Holt, and again, I'm making all sorts of assumptions. All this could be wrong. But I assume Chris Holt is deep into the analytics, is deep into the technology, can talk to pitchers, and is really good at talking to pitchers about their spin rate.
And pitch about selection.
Pitch selection, about slowing the camera down. And all that, I'm sure, is great and awesome.
Yeah.
But I think mechanics. But I think sometimes, and maybe he's good at mechanics too. And maybe all that's beneficial in a development in AAA and Bowie and that. But sometimes in a major league level, you just need like a pitching coach who's been there before. That kind of the calming voice who kind of has seen it all and knows being just kind of rattled and can say the right thing. And I think it's with coaching, if you learn anything from Ted Lasso, sometimes it's more than about being an expert, right? In every kind of specific thing. And more about being a leader and being able to kind of tell your players what they need to hear at certain times.
It's funny that you bring up Ted Lasso, because I was about to ask you.
I've not seen the latest season. Watched
Ted Lasso.
No, I haven't seen any of it.
All right. Well, in the latest season, they bring in a sports psychologist who's now on staff on their team, so the players can go and meet with him anytime.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder why we don't see that from the Orioles. Like, they need to have someone, I don't know why every baseball team does this, and maybe they do and they don't advertise it.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do.
It's time to have a Orioles psychologist who, on opening day, when they announce the guy who's in charge of videotape and the guy who is in charge of this, that the psychiatrist runs out there too. Because you need that for these players. There's a lot of pressure on these guys. Even when you're losing, to lose 19 games straight messes with your head a lot. When you fall into these slumps, you need to have that sports psychiatrist that can meet with Chris Davis daily through this, that can meet with these guys who are really struggling to help them mentally. And I don't know if the Orioles have that, but they need it.
Well, isn't a sports psychologist, isn't that kind of a coach's job, right? Isn't that kind of what the coach does, right? It's kind of the coach's job.
Yes and no.
To keep your head on straight when you're day in and day out.
It is. But it's also like he's more big picture. He's more the rah-rah guy. He's the guy that support you, that needs your back, where you need to go lay down on the couch and talk to the lady about your mental issues.
Okay. I can do my job, Josh. Some people can do their job without a sports psychologist. Now, there's anything wrong with that. It's helpful. I would have recommended to Chris Davis to help him get hit outside the shift.
I've never been to a psychologist.
Okay.
I've thought about it a lot the past year. I think a lot of people are helped by psychologists, and I think
psychiatrists. Yeah,
I think a lot of people are helped by it, and I think it's time to see more of it in sports. And I think as society is going more and more about your feelings, it's time to bring it into sports.
Do you think it's okay for a baseball team to have a sports psychologist while their minor leaguers sleep in cars?
I hope we do not have to have a discussion about minor leaguers sleeping in cars when teams could just buy a hotel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
Not to get off tangent, but yeah, it's not even pay. It's about specifically, talk to minor leaguers, the pay sucks, but the thing is the housing is dumb. The fact that they got to live with a host family, find their own host family is so dumb.
Yeah. It's dumb. Why, all right, do you take Bowie for an example? We'll just use Bowie as an example.
Yeah.
You build a big building out in right field. You call it the Bowie Warehouse. You make it look just like Camden Yards, and it's a bunch of dormitories.
Yep.
It's very simple.
That's what they're doing in Puerto Rico at the complex, right? I assume. Right.
It's what colleges do.
Yep.
Colleges give you sports, scholarships, plus room and board.
Yep.
Yet we cannot give room and board to minor league players. And it's not like it's a complicated thing. You build a dormitory.
That's all you got
to
do.
And you put enough rooms in there to house the visiting team and the home team.
It's not even that many rooms. It's a small dorm.
You put four people in a room, and it's a tiny house.
Yeah, and you can live there if you want or go somewhere else, whatever.
It makes no sense.
I know. I think it's such a simple thing.
All right, you know what? I'm going to make a little note here. I'm going to reach out to a minor league owner and try to get a minor league owner on this show.
All right. Do you think they don't build dorms? Yeah. You got some contacts.
I've got a contact, not for the Orioles, but I got a contact. And I'm going to look into this.
All right.
Because it does, it seems like it makes way too much sense to the common person.
Yeah.
For baseball to be screwing this up so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a small thing. Yeah. And it's so silly. Like, you hear about it. It's so silly how you get host families
and
at your home stadium, you got to go 45 minutes away to stay at this host family.
Yes.
That you found. It's just so weird.
Have you ever stayed at a host family house? It's awkward.
I stay with my in-laws, and it can't be that much better.
Yeah, that's bad, too. But I've stayed at strangers' houses before.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
When I did the band management stuff, we would go around and play at different churches. And when you were out of state, the churches would put up a host family for you to stay at their house.
Yeah.
It is awkward when you're there with four or five close friends and you're still staying at a stranger's house.
Yeah.
You're not comfortable. And they're putting these host families with one person's here. You know they're going out into the locker room, and you know the conversation is about how weird their host family is.
Certainly.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's weird.
It's not an exchange student thing. It's weird.
It's weird. All right, ready to get some coconuts and strawberries?
Real quick, before we get to that, I wanted to mention we've talked about the whole national media approach of the Orioles. Yes. Did you see Keith Law's comments this week?
I did.
Okay. So I'll just share it. It will turn around. It's just going to take a long time. I see the national narrative, and it's like, you all are doing this because they've lost 19 in a row. You know, don't kick them when they're down. Take a rational look at their situation they inherited and the decisions they've made and what direction they're heading. I think their future is brighter than the national media is making it out to be, and they're all scapegoating the Orioles for a more systematic problem in baseball, which is that it doesn't matter if, and my phone cut off the rest. If you suck, there we go.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. The future's bright. It's nice to see a national guy point that out. And as far as the bigger problem in baseball, I don't know if it's a bigger problem in baseball. I don't think baseball really gives you much of a benefit to suck.
Yeah, I know. The whole draft pick thing? What are we talking about?
Right, because we see players not succeed all the time that are drafted.
And the guy that was drafted number one overall wasn't like Hunter Davis or something, where some people had him one, some people had him going number 10, as low as number 10.
Would have taken Cowles
no matter what they had, right?
Yeah. I still see Oriole fans upset that we didn't get Rocker. Rocker literally wouldn't sign with the Mets and went back to college. And the Oriole fans are still upset that we didn't take Rocker. I don't think there's a benefit to sucking except for saving money.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. The only thing is, you don't spend money so you can, you don't have to spend money.
Right.
And I don't know how you avoid that, because any way you cut it, if I'm going to not make the playoffs, and I know I'm not going to make the playoffs, why would I spend $80 million to not make the playoffs when I can spend $40 million to not make the playoffs?
And you know what? Maybe the problem's not spending money. Maybe the problem's the divisions.
Yeah.
Maybe your problem is, look at the Orioles record. You want to have some fun. Look at the Orioles record since the All-Star break in the versus AL East teams versus NL versus other teams that they played this season. They dominated against other teams. The problem is they had 2/3 of their schedules against the AL East.
But Josh, but don't you think maybe if we just did if we stopped the unbalanced schedule, what if we didn't play the AL East a million times?
Oh yeah. I don't mind the divisions. It's the unbalanced schedule is the problem.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know what, if we're fixing the schedule, can we please get rid of interleague play? It's crap. Get it out of here. I want it to be special. No, I want to go back to it being special when we play National League teams.
I don't care that much about that. I'm okay with interleague play. I think it's kind of fun to play
even with the Braves and stuff. Crap?
Well, the DH will be solved next year. Everyone's going to be a DH next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you. All right, so two situations.
Yep.
The Mets have an owner, Josh, Steve Cohen.
Yes, I saw this.
Who likes to tweet.
Yes.
And he got in trouble a while ago for tweeting about their OPS or something, how they're struggling. But he voices his opinions on the Mets.
It's the Donald Trump in Major League Baseball. He is Donald Trump from Major League Baseball.
And I can't decide if this guy's a coconut and I like him because he's kind of like the voice of the fan, sticking to the players, or if like this is entirely inappropriate and he's a strawberry and he should just go back and let kind of management handle this. So where do you fall in? Are you a fan of Cohen? Is he a coconut?
Is this
too much? Do you think he's a coconut?
He's a coconut. I'm all in on him. I think this is how a lot of sports fans are. He just happens to use Twitter. And I think he's got more money than a lot of owners. He's extremely rich and doesn't need money from the Mets, which means he gets to be the fan.
Yeah.
And I love it. I like it. This is the type of conversations I've had with Bisciotti about the Ravens one-on-one. He just doesn't take it to Twitter, but where you get that passion that he's not just the owner, he's a huge fan of this team. And the whole reason he owns this team is because he loves this team as a fan. And that's what I see out of Cohen and his Twitter. So I love it.
All right. They could, as and Buster Olin talks about this, that maybe other executives are less likely to come work for the Mets because they're afraid of kind of the volatile Cohen and the position sure. that he'll put him in.
Okay. But I also think it also attracts a type of person.
Yeah, maybe.
That wants to work for that type of guy that's excited. I'd like to work for that type of guy who's excited about the product out there and wants you to be your best.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. I like Steve Cohen. I don't know if John Angelos or Lou Angelos was out there doing it about the Orioles. I don't know how much I like it, but I like it for the Mets.
True. No, you know what? I want John Angelos to do this because I am so tired of the narrative of Peter Angelos doesn't spend money. Peter Angelos is trying to tank the team. Peter Angelos, 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 Angelos.
I'm cares more about the bottom line. Yeah.
I'm tired of the narrative that Angelos doesn't care about winning, that this team will never win until the Angelos family is out of here. Start tweeting Angelos's and show Baltimore how much you care about this team because they wrote you off years ago and it's time to win this fan base back. And that type of crap could do it.
That's right, Angelos boys. Come on and start criticizing our hitters for not hitting enough and our pitchers for the higher A's.
All right. How much love would John Angelos have gotten if he started calling out Chris Davis on Twitter during those struggles? Saying, I'm paying you more than anyone else. I made you one of the highest paid guys in baseball and you can't hit the ball.
I don't know.
Fans would have gotten around. Fans would have gotten behind.
I don't know.
Did you bring up Cohen about this booing?
You were that's my other coconut and strawberry one.
All right.
Javier Baez. You saw this story.
Yes.
Javier Baez, and it gets been going on for a little while now, and it's not just Javier Baez, but I think he started it, where he got a hit. They show him at first base, and he has two thumbs down, booing, and the dugout's booing too.
Yes.
As a response to the fans booing them, Baez says that when he gets hit, he boos they're booing the fans.
Yes.
So they're dishing it out too. Is this a coconut move or a child strawberry having a hissy fit move?
I think it's a strawberry move, but I still love it.
Yeah.
Again, I love it because it's a different team. If it was Mancini running out there and booing, I would not like that. But it's also like, I think it's the type of thing you can only get away with in New York.
He's not getting away with it. I don't think anyone's getting away with it.
Oh, I mean, isn't the crowd booing him back?
Yeah, but Sandy Alderson had to put a whole statement out.
Yeah,
and now they're saying there's no chance Javier Baez comes back to the Mets after this year.
All right. I like it. I'm enjoying it. It's entertaining. It's a strawberry move. The fans are there paying to see you play. You're getting paid to play a child's game. Fans are paying to watch that game. They're the ones that get the right to boo, not you.
Yeah.
You get paid. It's like you're getting paid to do something. So you have to be respectful of that, and you have to make that company look good, irregardless of what the other people say and other people on the outside say. So, and those fans have the right to boo. You don't have the right to boo the fans.
So they have the rights, but you don't. That's messed up.
I mean, they're paying. They're paying you. If I go to McDonald's and buy a cheeseburger and it sucks, I have the rights to complain to say, hey, my cheeseburger's cold. McDonald's doesn't have the right to then yell at me about me wanting a warm cheeseburger.
Yeah. And I guess, like, I think context matters a lot here. Like, I booed Chris Davis. Here's who I did boo. Chris Davis. Here's who I didn't boo, though a lot of people booed him on opening day, and not Kevin Gregg. I think I might have booed Kevin Gregg.
I was going to say, there's another guy
who was booed opening day, and I didn't boo him, and that was Hyunsoo Kim. That was, remember all that drama refused to go to AAA?
Yeah.
And I thought that was, like, good on Hyunsoo Kim for standing up and not going to AAA.
Yeah, sucks he didn't get a hit, but yeah.
Yeah, and so I never booed Hyunsoo Kim, but I booed Chris Davis. And the reason I booed Chris Davis but not Hyunsoo Kim is the same reason I booed Chris Davis but I'll never boo Ryan McKenna, is because Ryan McKenna didn't sign a $161 million contract to hit home runs.
And Chris Davis, we didn't see him doing anything to try to improve.
Yeah.
Where we saw simple things, and then we'd ask him at FanFest. I believe we were in the room once with the interview where the question was, what has he done to work on? And it's like, I took a phone call from the hitting coach or whatever. Yeah. So it's like they never did anything to try to improve.
Yeah. And so I was trying to imagine from the Orioles' perspective, like there's no one on the Orioles I would boo. And I think with the Mets situation, they're like booing everybody. Like they're just booing the team.
They're just expressing frustration.
Yeah. And I'm not booing the Orioles because I expect the Orioles to lose every game. But the expectations kind of create the booing. So it's almost a form of flattery, right? Because you're saying when you boo, I expect so much more of you because I know you're capable, either as a player or as a team, is so much more. And so my disappointment is not that you suck. My disappointment is that I have such high expectations for you that I think you can be so great, but you're not living up to the potential, and therefore I'm booing you. But I kind of think it's a coconut move to boo back. I just think it's cool. I kind of like it. Like, I would love for me to boo Chris Davis, and then Chris Davis get a hit and, like, boo me right back. That'd be the greatest thing ever.
But it's really close to years ago with the NBA where they had the players going up and fighting the fans.
Oh, yeah. I got to watch the documentary. Did you watch that one on Netflix yet, Josh?
Not yet. It's on Netflix. It's on my list.
I know. I got to watch that. I'm dying to watch that.
But it's a little too close to that I can't make it a coconut move because of that. Right. And I think you also got to understand that passion that the fan base is booing with is the same exact passion that if you start playing well is going to make that stadium rock with cheers and shake. So,
but Josh, the passion is also coming from the player perspective. Like the reason he's booing is because he's so passionate about it too.
Passion. No, that's not passion. That's irritated. That is the fans have gotten under your skin. That's right, not passion.
Because you're so passionate.
No. Passion for a player is not booing the fans. Passion for a player, because he did something good. So the response would not be booing. The passion for a player, Chris Davis breaking the bat over his leg is passion for a player. Any celebration with a walk-off is passion for the player. A fist bump when you strike a guy out is passion for a player. Booing the fans is frustration, and the fans got under your skin, Strawberry.
Though it would be very coconut if it was an away game. The problem was this all happened at a home game.
Exactly. If you do that because the opponent is booing you, that's passion, and that's fun, and that's making the highlight reels.
Yeah, it's just awkward when it's the home game.
Yes.
All right, fine. So we have a coconut and Cohen and a strawberry and Baez. I'm glad we kind of straightened that out.
All right. You want to get to a little ball four?
Well, I want to get to the PlayStation. So if you want to call it ball four, call it ball four.
Oh, and I had two ball fours. That wasn't even the PlayStation. All right. Well, here. I'm going to do my first ball four. Check this guy out. John Means bobblehead celebrating his no-hitter.
Nice.
This came in the mail today. I ordered this from Foco, and it's cool. It's got all the stats on the back.
Oh, very cool.
So it's really cool. I ordered it the day after the no-hitter from Foco, and it just showed up in the mail today. And I bought it because it was like saying, like, we're only making 113 of these. So I don't know how they came up with that number. So I ordered it right away, and I got number 6 of 113, which I think is pretty good.
Oh, very cool. That was
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So
that came in the mail today. That's my ball one.
Nice.
You got any balls today, or are you making me just go to the PlayStation?
Oh, I'll do a ball real quick. I got a couple books. Fine. I'll do books. I don't think I talked about on here yet. Oh, Atomic Habits. This is a good little self-help book. Want some good habits in your life? Atomic Habits. Highly recommend it. Self-help. All right. What's your ball two?
All right. Ball two, I watched a movie this weekend called Vacation Friends. That's on Hulu.
Okay, never heard of it.
I never heard of it either, but it had John Cena in it, and I like John Cena, so I watched it, and John Cena was very funny in it. It's about a couple that meets on vacation, and one's crazy and stuff, so it was entertaining, and it's on Hulu, and it's free, so I'm all for free movies.
All right.
On Hulu. You got another ball over there?
Another book, The Guest List. It's a good thriller. Takes place off an island in Ireland. There's a wedding and there's a murder. It's a good thriller. The Guest List, you check it out. Also, the audiobook is excellent. So, yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Fine. It's a good PlayStation.
See this? Yeah. Nice PlayStation 5 controller.
Oh, a PlayStation? You got the PlayStations?
That's the controller I bought back in April. or May or whatever.
So still no PlayStation.
Still no PlayStation. So here's what happened this week.
Yeah, there's an update. Okay. Yeah.
So he was going to go pick it up.
Yeah.
Then he says, no, I promise I'll have it tonight. Obviously, he didn't have it. That was days ago. Right. Then he tells me, remember, this is a good deal where I bought like a whole pallet of PlayStation.
You bought a pallet of PlayStations.
Yeah. I'll talk about it whenever I get it a little bit. But basically, it's part of the reason why you can't find these PlayStations in stores is because of people like me.
Like you.
Yeah.
But you can't find them either. So you're in the same position as someone looking for in the store. But okay, go ahead.
Anyway, so the guy tells me then, he goes, remember, this is a whole issue with the brother-in-law and getting them from the brother-in-law. Yes. Then he says, well, I got tired of tracking down the brother-in-law, so I was able to order another pallet. So it'll be here on Friday. And I'm like, all right, that's a little weird. I said, so your brother-in-law sold them all? And he said, no. I'm tired of fighting with him.
I'm like, okay. So he's going to cut out the brother-in-law. Your
brother-in-law have the whole pallet? Doesn't make any sense to me. But whatever, you ordered a whole pallet. And I think he said he's giving me more than I ordered. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
But you had to pay for the new pallet, don't you, Josh?
No, I didn't pay for the new pallet.
Okay. This is part of a second game. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Okay,
so anyway, so Friday, I see him at our softball game. He says, no, it's coming tonight. It's coming tonight. So I'm like, all right. So I talked to him after the softball game is coming. Then I talked to him late Friday. He says, it's coming. It'll be here in the morning. I said, okay. Or he said, the truck's in Tallahassee. It'll be here in the morning. Saturday comes and goes. He sends me, I said,
is the brother-in-law driving the truck in Tallahassee?
Exactly. So now new truck. So this is pallet number two. And Saturday he tells me, oh, it got stuck on the way station in Tallahassee. No problem. I'll see it on Sunday. Nothing on Sunday. Nothing's here. Let's see. And on Sunday, he said he's got me. It'll be here tonight. Sends me a screenshot of the bill of Landon, like the sheet showing that it's coming and it's on the truck.
Does that all look legit, Josh?
Yeah, it looks legit. It's got his address on it. I said, all right, is it going to your shop or is it going to your home? He says it's going to his home. I said, all right, great. So then I don't hear anything from him yesterday. This morning I text them and I say, I'm guessing the hurricane took the truck out. And he responds with, no, I'm just waiting for it. I'm waiting.
He's not into your jokes anymore, is he? No, I don't think he's into your jokes. Yeah, he's not. No laughing emojis, no LOLs.
But I'm also not into his excuses. So then at 3:15 today, he says, I'm waiting on dispatch. The truck arrived today to Jack's, which confuses me because he told me the truck was coming to his house. So then I said, okay, well, I'm just checking in because you told me the new truck is coming on Friday. Then you said Saturday. Then you said Sunday. And today's Monday. And then right before doing the show, I said, all right, so it's not coming today. When do you think the truck is going to come? The paper you showed me says it was going straight to your home. And he has not responded. So this is my second pallet that apparently is nowhere to be found. And I am still waiting.
But I don't understand. If he's going to order a second pallet, here's the thing I don't understand. Why would he even tell you that he's ordering a second pallet? Like, I would just not tell you, and then when it shows up, say, hey, this is what I did, and here it is.
Why would you order a second pallet if the first pallet's in your brother-in-law's storage unit? Could you imagine if you had a pallet of if I ordered a bunch of stuff for me and some friends of mine, and it's all in your garage, and 3 months later, I still can't get it from you. I would be parked in your driveway waiting for you to get home. After about 3 days, I'd be parked in your driveway waiting for you to get home.
How far away does the brother-in-law live?
Doesn't make any sense. Not that far away.
He's not living in Maryland.
No, not that far away. The story makes no sense. The new pallet makes no sense. None of it makes any sense.
Josh, is there a way we get the neighbor on this podcast so I could ask him some questions and try to get the bottom of this?
That's an interesting idea. All right, here's what I'm doing. Next week, if my update is not I have a PlayStation, my update's going to be, let me introduce you to my neighbor.
Yeah, you should say, give me my pallets or come on the podcast.
All right. I'm telling him that. I'm going to tell him. Okay. If he's not here on Monday,
I got some questions
for him. Come on, because you've got some questions.
Yeah, and we'll take some listener questions, too. If the listeners want to submit questions to ask the neighbor, we can take questions to ask the PlayStation neighbor.
All right. Next week.
Okay, that's not the update I was hoping for, Josh. But now we have two pallets,
So, and that's going to be an exciting Labor Day episode.
Yeah, the chance of getting a PlayStation doubles in with the two pallets. So this is exciting.
I'm going to text them right now. If I do not have the systems.
Now Josh, throwing out threats.
Next Monday.
Ooh.
You can come on the podcast.
This must be the most tense text exchange. And then you go and play softball with the dude. And then you see him out there walking the dog and you say, hi, neighbor. And you go and live your life.
This is so bizarre. Drive by his house every time I leave the neighborhood and wave to him.
Yeah.
Because it's Florida, because people are outside all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been pitching some great softball with him and all. And this is the most irritating thing.
Yeah.
All right. So it's, it's the second most irritating thing in my life right now.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the other in a few weeks.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thanks for the update.
Yep. I think that does it for some Orioles news.
Yeah. I think what will happen first? Will the Orioles win again or Josh get his PlayStations? The race is on. What will happen first.
I texted your wife. Told her happy birthday.
Yeah. I'm doing this podcast.
I assume you were going to tell her happy birthday at some point.
I sent her a message on Facebook.
I saw that.
I gave her HBD. Happy birthday. So, all right. Let's get out of here.
All right. Well, how about next week you arrange some furniture in your office so it's not so echoey?
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I know we're going back to the when I was moving out with the echoes. Now we're back in with the echoes.
I mean, I like the boxes. I am proud that you're not sitting on some stairs doing the podcast or sitting at the dining room table. This is a big step for you to get
a desk. I'm in an office chair. This is the first time I've been in an office chair for the podcast in a long time.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So congrats on the new house.
Thanks.
And your internet appears to work.
The internet appears to work. Some user error. I just had to send back about $150 worth of equipment to Amazon.com.
Plugging some wires into the wrong spots.
Yeah. So, but it works now.
All right. Well, why don't we get out of here?
I'm trying. You can follow us
unless you want to talk about our new review, but we may have discussed it last week.
Oh, the one about Bert. The last review I saw we talked about here is you mentioned about someone wanted Bert, and I echoed that review.
All right. Well, how about this? Here's a new review that just came in on August 23rd.
Okay.
5 stars. Subject.
Good start.
Subject, Josh is getting scammed.
Yes, he is.
This is awesome. This is an iTunes review that I will be sending over to my neighbor in a minute. Josh, just grab your neighbor and throw him in your car and drive to his brother-in-law's house to get your PS5. This runaround he's giving you is ridiculous. Other than that, great pod. With both a knowledgeable and critical look at the O's. That's my favorite review.
Yeah, that sums up our podcast. Discussion of the O's and then Josh getting scammed.
And I kept the PS5 scam to myself for at least 3-4 months. I don't think I brought this up until July. I think I brought this up around the All-Star break.
Yeah.
It's been my secret since March.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Running since March. It's impressive. It's an impressive run.
It's very entertaining.
All right, guys, you can go do what that guy did and write us a review. Talk about how Josh getting scammed on iTunes. As long as you give us 5 stars, you can say whatever you want on there. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all those things. And you can find our podcast on Fansided too, right, Josh?
Yeah, on birdswatcher.com, which is the Orioles Fansided site. Yeah, excited to be part of Fansided.
Very cool. All right, boys and girls. Well, thanks for listening. Oh, yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, too, at Section336. You can follow Josh on Twitter.
At Josh Soroka.
Shoot, I almost forgot that one.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. Yeah.
And now that it's football season, check out Film Study. Go check out Ken over there.
Yeah, Film Study. We gotta get into some Ravens. We got a little Ravens talk at the top of the show. Just some more Ravens talk.
Next week will be our post-draft show. For our fantasy football league, I believe.
I will read off my entire fantasy squad.
Yeah. All right.
All right, boys and girls. Thanks for listening. And as always, go O's. And we really don't care what the haters say. We'll be rocking from the city to the Chesapeake Bay. Other bad birds have to run this town. Everybody knows we ain't messing around.
to the yard, we must protect this house. The other bad birds, haven't you heard? We got the underdog style, but we'll be crushing the curve.